we continue our meeting with implementation matters.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. So agenda papers 12A and 12B summarize the committee's January and March meeting. I will first talk about agenda paper 12A, which summarizes the January meeting. At this meeting, the committee finalized four agenda decisions, and I just want to highlight a couple of points in them. So the agenda decision, which starts on page 3, relates to the recognition of revenue by a stock exchange that provides a listing service to a customer. In particular, the request asked whether the stock exchange promises to transfer an admission service that is distinct from the ongoing listing service. Like other agenda decisions on IFRS 15, this agenda decision first explains more generally how an entity applies the relevant requirements and then goes on to address the specific matter that was raised. The next two agenda decisions, which start on page 4, relate to the accounting for changes of interest in a subsidiary in separate financial statement when the entity accounts for its investment in subsidiary at cost. I just want to highlight one point in the second of these agenda decisions, which relates to the accounting for step acquisition transaction. While the agenda decision notes the committee's conclusion that there are two acceptable approaches to how an entity could determine cost in this situation, the committee wanted to highlight to the board that, in its view, one of those approaches would provide more useful information than the other. That particular observation is included in a quick update, but it's not part of the actual agenda decision itself. With that, I will move on to agenda paper 12B, which summarizes the committee's March meeting. So at this meeting, the committee finalized 8 agenda decisions and also published 4 tentative agenda decisions. So I'll first talk about the finalized agenda decisions, which start on page 6. The first 4 of these agenda decisions relate to the application of IFRS 9. The first one relates to the application of the highly probable requirement in a cash flow hedge relationship. The second relates to the physical settlement of a derivative contract, and the last 2 address questions regarding expected credit losses. With regards to the last of these, which starts on page 9 and relates more particularly to the curing of a credit-impaired financial asset, we will be developing some educational material relating to the committee's conclusions in that agenda decision. Now, the next 2 agenda decisions relate to the interaction of the accounting for joint operation in IFRS 11 with the requirements in IFRS 15 and IFRS 16. The second of these, which starts at the bottom half of page 10, relates specifically to the recognition of liabilities by a joint operator in a joint operation that is not structured through a separate vehicle. Respondents to the tentative agenda decision suggested that the board consider more broadly the accounting for this type of joint operation as part of its post-implementation review of IFRS 11. The next agenda decision I want to highlight starts on page 11 and relates to the capitalization of borrowing cost in the context of construction of residential units for sale. The request asked whether an entity capitalizes borrowing costs when, in the fact pattern, the entity recognizes revenue over time. For this agenda decision as well, we will be developing some educational material relating to the committee's conclusions. Now, the last agenda decision, which starts on page 12, relates to the accounting for rights of access in cloud computing arrangements. Respondents to this tentative agenda decision highlighted shortcomings in the requirements of IAS 38 in their application to intangible assets linked to digitization as something the board might consider as part of its next agenda consultation. Now, you may also recall that at your meeting in December, you discussed the timing of applying an accounting policy change that results from an agenda decision. At that meeting, you confirmed your view that entities should be entitled to sufficient time to implement any change in accounting policy that might result from an agenda decision. We agreed to consider how to make this more visible for our stakeholders. And as you will see, the preface to the agenda decision, which is at the bottom of page 6 of the IFRIC update, now incorporates this view. Now, in addition to the final agenda decision, the committee, like I said, the committee also published 4 tentative agenda decisions. These start on page 2 of the IFRIC update. The only one I would like to highlight here is the first one, which relates to the accounting for cryptocurrencies. This matter was discussed by you last year, and you had requested that the committee publish an agenda decision on this matter. So with that, I will stop here and ask if you have any question on any of the matters included in Agenda Papers 12A or 12B.
Thank you. Just let me make a question about the physical settlement of the contract. I think the decision itself is correct, and this is the right decision. However, the overall outcome is not really nice. I mean, what I'm saying is this example is very simple. This is just a physical delivery with the promised price in the future date. So at the date of the transaction is simple, just deliver goods and get the promised price. So the cash is equal to the amount you delivered. However, because it's a forward contract, you have to recognize it as a financial instrument the day you made a contract. So up until the day before the transaction, I think the IFRS 9 works well. It depicts the picture at the risk of the contract. But at the date of the transaction itself is a simple delivery of goods. So they're receiving cash. So in terms of information usefulness, maybe just simple revenue recognition to receive cash and recognize revenue, say for example, 100, may provide better information, and that is much simpler to understand. So although I think everything is correct, it's because that the IFRS 9 works well, and IFRS 15 looks like works well. However, it's a combination of IFRS 15 and IFRS 9. So therefore, up until the date of transaction, you use IFRS 9, but you cannot really switch to IFRS 15. And that is the problem of our standard. So I don't think we can do anything now, because we have different standards. But in the future, we have to consider what is the best outcome of combination of IFRS 15 and IFRS 9. Or we have to consider restriction about on-use exception. So on-use exception should be used in such a case. But in real life, though the commodity traders, they have a variety of transactions, and that they are doing something like a portfolio basis. So therefore, it's not really possible to apply own-use exception. So in the future discussion, we may consider about the relaxing own-use exception, or we have to consider about the combination of two standards. That is, rather comment rather than question.
Well, I would like to express my high appreciation for the quality of these agenda decisions. I think they're really helpful and they're well done. So I think that's very good. I also I'm happy to see, I mean, the prominence that has been given to the accounting policy changes that may result in the sufficient time notion. So I think that's also very positive. I would, because I speak of these issues, I would like to express again what I did in the past of not supporting the fact that the IFRIC would reach conclusions, exercise judgment in the shoes of regulators and practitioners altogether, and which decision on fact pattern. I don't. And at a point in time, I expected that it would happen infrequently, and in fact, it comes repeated. And finally, with everything that has been done around agenda decisions, I think next to an agenda decision that comment on an option which is open in our literature. I don't think DFRIC, when they discuss the issue, conclude about what IFRS require or permit, I don't think they should express a view about what is the better option. Because even if it is a report to us, I mean, they have other means of reporting to us eventually. And I think it's another way of eventually undermining the good quality of all this process. So I think we should aim at not damaging in any way the quality of what is being done.
Okay. And comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you.